This is your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Segregation shut out ballplayers such as James Jake Sanders from ballparks and the major leagues, but it didn't quell his passion for the game. He attended the same high school in Fairfield as Willie Mays and went on to star in the Negro League. These days, Sanders travels the country telling the history of the league to school kids so the stories don't get lost. WBHM Cheryl Wheeler-Stewart met with Sanders at Birmingham's Negro Southern League Museum.
Jake Sanders turns 84 this month, and he still loves to talk about baseball. When was the first time you picked up a bat and realized you could do something with it?
The day that Toni Stone played here.
Toni Stone was the first black woman to play in the Negro League. There were at least three. Stone played second base the day Sanders' dad took him to Rickwood Field to watch a game.
So I said, well, if that lady can play, I can play. I had to be around 12 or 13 years old.
Sanders wasn't new to this sport. He played ball in the streets of Fairfield growing up. He didn't have a real baseball and bat, so he improvised.
With a broomstick and a tennis ball.
With a broomstick?
With a broomstick. We wasn't allowed on the park to play with the white kids. So we play in the street.
Jake Sanders traded that broomstick for a bat and later played in the Negro League for the Birmingham Black Barons, the New Orleans Bears,
the Detroit Tigers, Stars at least, and the Kansas City Monarchs.
Huge crowds watched Negro League games at Birmingham's Rickwood Field.
It'd be so many people at Birmingham, they have to put line down the third and first base line. I done played before 50,000 people in the Negro League.
That big draw did not mean big pay. Negro League players made about $150 to $200 a month.
$1 a day to eat on, 50 cents in the morning, 50 cents in the evening.
What about lunch?
That's it. You take that dollar, you better have it all day if you want to eat.
On a recent morning, Sanders stands in front of a display at the Negro Southern League Museum with the last bat he used and the orange and white jersey he wore for a team called Buck Village. It was a local outfit he played for after the Negro League mostly ended in 1962. He was number 7.
Oh, it gives you chills when you come in here.
A lot of Negro League history still lives in Birmingham. 9 Birmingham area players went on to the major league after integration.
Like Reverend William Dreesen. His curry ball was so good. He could throw a curry ball and wrap around the house. And he went on to the major league, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Sanders will tell you he feels lucky to have played in the game he loves. It wasn't easy. He was picked to play with the L.A. Dodger farm system in 1957. And then, Sanders says, he was unfairly cut.
I'm batting cleanup with a 462 batting average, and I get cut. I'm leading the club in every department. I get cut because of the color of my skin.
Then he says the Baltimore Orioles tried to recruit him, but he turned them down.
I chose to stay at home. I wasn't going to go and go through that problem no more.
Sanders' sister, Patricia Sanders Thomas, was at the museum with her brother when I met with him. She shakes her head as she listens to him talk.
What disturbs me is how he was cheated. For you to go out and play and only get a dollar a day, $200 a month.
She remembers the time she watched her big brother play at Rickwood. She was about 6.
He ran in to catch this ball. But when he caught the ball, he fell down. He slid. And he fell down on his belly. But nobody thought that he had the ball. But when he got up, he had the ball in his hand. I mean, the stadium went wild.
Sanders and other Negro League players get some recognition now. Congress issued a proclamation in 2002 recognizing the league as part of the major league. Then there's this kind of special recognition, unscripted, almost every time he visits the Negro Southern League Museum.
James, if you could please sign the sweet spot on that ball, I'd appreciate it.
More than happy, Doc.
Sanders calls everyone Doc, but when it comes to Negro League history, he's one with authority. For WBHM, I'm Cheryl Wheeler-Stewart.
You're listening to Morning Edition on your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM, 91.5 WSGM.